One of the most famous lines from Shakespeare, for those of you who remember back in the day, is to be or not to be? That is the question. Today I want to pose a different question, and that is to fear or not to fear? That is the question we want to tackle today. I'd ask that you open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20. We'll be looking at verses 18 through 21, and we actually find the answer to that question in this passage this morning. Today we're going to return to our study in the life of Moses. We've been away. We took a little bunny trail. We studied the Ten Commandments for the past 10 weeks. But now we're going to get back into this man Moses and look at his life. And we're going to look at that today. Just to kind of bring you up to speed, if you remember, Moses had led the people across the Red Sea out of Egypt. And as soon as they got into the land there, they began to grumble and complain. No food, no water. God miraculously provided for their needs in that situation. A few months go by and God says to Moses, Moses, I want you to come up to this mountain because it's here that I'm going to give you my law for the people of Israel, how their lives were to be governed. And if you remember, the people were to stay at the base of the mountain. They weren't to come up on the mountain like Moses. They weren't even to touch the mountain or they would die. And we saw this last time how the mountain quaked and trembled at the holy presence of God. And really, we're continuing with that today in our passage. Exodus 20, verse 18 says, when the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, speak to us yourself and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us or we will die. Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. The people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. Today, the main verse I want to focus on is verse 20. And it's a very interesting verse, isn't it? When we look at that, because God says on one hand, he says to Moses, to the people, don't be afraid. But then on the other hand, he says, fear, be afraid. Fear who? Fear God. So I want to look at those two aspects today. And I want to begin with, first of all, with fearing God. What does it mean to fear God? As you read your Bible, you will find many, many times where we are commanded to fear God. And in our culture, many people, when they think about fearing God, they sometimes say, well, you know, I think that fearing God stuff was for back in the olden days. You know, back in the days of Moses, you know, maybe Noah and the boat and the flood and all that, and maybe Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, those people were called to fear God, but now we shouldn't do that anymore. I mean, that was all Old Testament, and in the Old Testament, you know, God was full of wrath and anger, and I just like the New Testament, because the New Testament is about Jesus, and we know Jesus is all about love, and so I just read the New Testament. I don't even spend any time in the Old Testament. The truth is, God does not change. God does not have a split personality. God was not different in the Old Testament than he was in the New. The writer of Hebrews says what? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is the same. God does not change. God is not like us in that way. We change, don't we? Hopefully we're changing for the better, right? We need to grow in love. We need to grow in grace. We need to grow in the knowledge of God. So we are ever changing. Hopefully our character is changing. God doesn't need any changing. God is perfect. He's complete in every single way. The truth of the matter is, as you read your Bible, you will find wrath and judgment in the New Testament as well. And you will also find a lot of love and grace in the Old Testament as well as you dig into it. I want to give you two scriptures from the New Testament that tell us we are to fear God. We're still to do that today. The first one comes from the lips of Jesus, the one who was kind and gentle and said things like, do not judge and love your neighbor, something that even our unbelieving world loves to quote. But listen to what else Jesus said. Matthew 10, verse 28, Jesus says this. He says to his 12 disciples as he's commissioning them and sending them out, he says to them, "Do not be afraid of those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell." What was Jesus saying there? He's saying, hey guys, don't be afraid of people. Don't be afraid of other men. Men may despise you. Men may threaten you. Men may seek to do physical harm to you, maybe even to the point of death. Don't be afraid of them. Don't fear them at all. Why? Because God is with you. Who should you be afraid of? You should fear God. You should fear God. You should fear the one who has the power to cast you into hell. Interesting words there that Jesus says. Jesus says about not fearing man, he says, don't fear them because they have no power over your soul. They have no power over where you will spend eternity. And in case you forgot, eternity is a very, 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 very long time compared to this earth. What does the Bible say? Our life is but a vapor. It's but a puff of smoke. We see it for a minute and then it's gone. If you went to the fireworks, saw any fireworks in the last couple days, right? We saw this big puff of smoke when it was all over, but how long did the smoke last? Eventually faded away. That's what our lives are like compared to eternity. They're just so short, so brief, so temporary. And so we should not be afraid of what men can do. Therefore, be more concerned about fearing God than fearing men. Be more concerned about what God thinks than what people think. Second scripture comes out of 1 Peter 2, verse 17. Peter here says this, "Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God and honor the king." Four commands in one verse. There's a whole lot there. But it's interesting that Peter there says to the believers, fear God, fear God. And sandwiched in there, or fear God is sandwiched between these commands like showing respect to all people, loving the family, the believers, and also honoring those in authority, honoring the king. Why is that there? Obviously because the Holy Spirit put it there. But isn't it interesting there that when you talk about fearing God, in the same breath, Peter's talking about our relationship with other people. Because there is a direct correlation between how we fear God and how we treat people. You see, if we disrespect people, if we dishonor people, I believe we're not fearing God the way we should, are we? We need to fear him in that way. When we show disrespect to another human being, again, we are not fearing God. Why is that? Because what does God say in his word? Well, Peter says respect everybody, no matter who they are. We need to respect them because why? They are human beings. What does James say? Human beings are made in the image and the likeness of God. Therefore, we should not curse men. We should not have cursing and praising out of the same mouth. Ought not be. Even Jesus himself said this, if you say to your brother, you fool, which is a term of just disrespect and hatred and contempt, Jesus said you will be in danger of the fire of hell. Why did he say that? Because when we disrespect people, other human beings made in the image of likeness of God, we're showing a lack of fear of God who has created all people. And they may be corrupt. They may do vile things, but guess what? God says show respect to all people, to everyone. We want to show that we fear God. It's going to show in our relationships with other people, the way we treat other people. And showing respect to all people is really just one area of our lives. There are so many other areas where we can show a fear of God, or really a lack of fear of God. When you think about it, why do we sin? Why do we do what we do? Many reasons, but one reason is often because, for me, I know I don't fear God enough. Because if I had a real reverence and awe of a holy God who wants me to live a Christ-honoring, pleasing life, I would do things differently. So much of our sin is rooted in a lack of fear of God. And really, this is what our text says today out of Exodus 20:20. Did you catch that? Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you." To what? To keep you from what? Sinning. To keep you from sinning. A healthy fear of God keeps us from sinning. I pray that we all would have that healthy fear of God, this reverence, this awe of God. So should we fear God? Answer is yes, absolutely. Let's look at our second area, which the scripture tells us, and that is that we're not to be afraid. We should not fear. I want to look at two areas today, and number one is in the earthly sense, and number two is in the heavenly sense. Here Moses says to the people of Israel, hey guys, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Now when you back up and you think about what Israel was going through, they were about to enter into the promised land. They knew that there would be battles that they would have to fight. And so God says to them, hey, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. We know that it took Israel 40 years to actually get into the promised land. Do you know why it took them so long? They were afraid. They were afraid. Remember the story of the 12 spies? How 12 spies were sent into the promised land to look over the land. 40 days they would spy out the land. 10 guys came back and said, man, hey, the things are good. The fruit's nice and sweet, but milk and honey, but the people are like giants. I mean, Andre the Giant, Ed Too Tall Jones, these are these people that they're just huge. There's no way we can take these people. But two guys come back, Joshua and Caleb, and they say, no, we can do this. God said we're going to get this land. It was promised to our forefather Abraham. We can do this. And because of their lack of faith, lack of trust, because of their fear that they had, it would be 40 years in the wilderness that they would wander. And so that generation would not enter the promised land, as you know. Not even Moses would go in. He'd get to see it, but not go in. Who would get to lead the people? Joshua would. And so in our scripture reading today, out of Deuteronomy 31, you heard how Moses told Joshua, Joshua, you're going to go in, you're going to lead the people, but don't be afraid, don't be discouraged. Why? Because the Lord is going to be with you. God will never leave you, and he will never, ever forsake you. Therefore, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Those are such beautiful words to Joshua that we need to apply to our lives today as well. God would say to you and say to me, hey, whatever situation you're in, whatever battles you may face, you may not be in the military fighting against an enemy, but there are earthly battles that we have, could be physical, could be spiritual. Some of you going through difficult things physically. Others, you may just be going through these spiritual battles that you can't put your finger on. You don't know why they're happening, but they're going on in the midst of your life, and you're to put on the armor of God. You're to fight the good fight. You're to fight the battle. You're to press on in those things. These are earthly battles that we face. And God says to us in the midst of our battles, do not be afraid. And yet we have an enemy of our souls who loves to whisper these two words. You know what they are, right? Be afraid. Be afraid. Why don't you fear? Have some fear. Because after all, God really, he's not really concerned about the circumstance and the situation you're in, is he? You know that scripture about, you know, God works all things together for the good. You don't really believe that, do you? That he's working this difficult, terrible, horrible thing for his good? You don't really believe that, do you? You need to be afraid of your situation. You need to be afraid of your circumstance. But God assures us and says, don't be afraid. Earlier, we looked at Matthew 10:28, which said, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell." Let's look at what comes right after that. Very interesting. Matthew 10, 29 through 31. After Jesus talks about this eternal God and have an eternal perspective, he now kind of brings it back down to earth. And he says this in verse 29, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So what? So don't be what? Afraid. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows." Then he goes on to talk about acknowledging him before men. And again, the context here is don't be afraid of other people. Don't fear. Don't give in to fear. And also, don't be afraid for your life. Because God will take care of you, as the old song says. He cares about the birds. He even knows however many numbers of hairs are upon our heads. Some have more than others, right? He knows that. And so he cares for you. He knows when every bird falls to the ground. And so he will take care of you. Doesn't mean you're not going to have struggles. Doesn't mean you're not going to have difficulties. But in the midst of those times, know this, that he will take care of you. Your needs will be met. Do not worry about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat. He will take care of you. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. That phrase is often in the Bible. Why? Because I think God knows that we as humans tend to get afraid, especially of uncertainties and things that come our way. Also remember this, that there is a day coming when every single person on the planet is going to stand before the judgment seat of God. And you do not want to be in the shoes of someone who has denied Christ or forsaken Christ or said that Jesus was just a religious nut. He was a fruitcake. You don't want to be in the shoes of that person, because God says this, if you disown me or deny me before men, I will deny you before the Father in heaven, is what Jesus said. Jesus said, "There will be many who say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, didn't I do this? Didn't I do that in your name?' And Jesus will look at them and say, 'Depart from me, I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness.'" And this leads us really to our second area, and that is that we should not be afraid. We should not have fear in the heavenly sense. We're not to be afraid here on earth. Also, when we come to stand before the judgment seat of God. If Jesus said there will be a day when he says to the Father, "That person that does not belong to me," or he says to the actual person, "Depart from me, I never knew you," what about those who do know him? What about those who do belong to Christ? What happens on that day when we stand before him? The answer is we too, in that moment, should not be afraid. This is what the Bible says. Let's look at our final scripture for today. It comes out of 1 John chapter 4. Look at 1 John 4, 15 through 18. It says, "If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have," here's the key word, "confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world we are like him." Verse 18, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear." Why? Because fear has to do with what? With punishment. "The one who fears is not made perfect in love." Now, some would argue that it is presumptuous to think that we could stand before a holy, righteous God and not be quaking in our shoes. But what does the Bible teach here? Perfect love casts out fear. Why? Because fear has to do with what? With punishment. And so if we think we're going to stand before God, if we've come to Christ, we've been forgiven, if we think we're going to stand before Him and He's going to somehow punish us, then we really haven't put all our hope and our trust in what the cross is all about. I understand certainly the argument there that none of us should come before God in kind of a cavalier, self-righteous kind of way. You know, the person who says, hey, man, when I get to heaven, you know, God's just going to, I'm so cool. He's going to say, man, you're the coolest person ever. I'm so glad I get to spend eternity with you, you cool Joe, you. No, that's just a proud, arrogant, terrible attitude. We should not have, it should be a humble attitude, but our faith, our confidence needs to be in what Jesus has done. That's where it all lies. When John says we should not fear the judgment of God, it is because of this one reason and this one reason alone. It is because we are standing there with a righteousness that is not our own. We're standing there with a righteousness that comes from Christ. We've been clothed in His righteousness. Isaiah 61 says we've got the garments of salvation. He's robed us in righteousness. And so all of our hope, all of our confidence is in the work of Jesus on the cross, that on the cross He bore all my punishment. Therefore, I know that I am not condemned, that I'm not going to be punished when I stand before a holy God. As the song says, my hope is built on nothing less than what? Than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Nothing less and nothing more either. I can't add to what Jesus did. We can't take away from it. That's where our hope is at today. Where are you at today? Do you fear God? Number one, do you have a healthy fear of God? Again, it's so, our culture just kind of has a way of kind of making God our buddy. You know, it just wants everybody to just kind of, you know, God's cool kind of thing. And God is our brother, certainly. Jesus is called our brother in the Bible. But we still need to have this reverent fear that I'm a sinner and God is holy. And I know what I deserve. It's not heaven. It's not glory. Not any grace, not any mercy. So we still need to have that healthy reverence, that awe. Let me ask you this. Do you seek Him in all your decisions because you want to do His will? Do you seek Him in all your decisions because you want to do His will? I believe that shows a sign of a heart that has a healthy fear of God. God, I just want to walk in your ways. I want to walk in your presence. And number two, has Christ removed your fear of punishment? Has He removed it all? How many of you can remember as a child getting in trouble and you knew, mom or dad found out, you were going to get it. It was coming. One of my favorite stories that my dad shares with me is a time when he was young and he did something wrong. I think he was coming home late for dinner, something like that. And he knew he was going to get it. So he went into the basement and he grabbed a shingle. And he took the shingle and he put it in the back of his pants. And so he was ready for it. And needless to say, his father was not too pleased when he laid his hand down and hit the shingle. Imagine my dad probably wasn't feeling too good either. He may have rethought, I can't imagine little stones going against you, but why did my dad do that? Because he knew punishment was coming. He knew he deserved that. That's what the cross is all about. Jesus took our big spanking. Jesus took the punishment that we deserve. He took the wrath of God, the just wrath of a holy God. He bore it for us. And so if you're here today and you're afraid that maybe you need to do something to spare yourself, maybe you could stick a shingle in your pants when you come before God, or maybe you could do some good things to alleviate the punishment. You can't do it. Nothing you can do to turn away God's wrath but this one thing is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. All who do not believe in the Son, the Bible says, the wrath of God remains upon them. But all who come to the Son are free indeed. We escape the wrath of God. We escape the judgment. We escape his punishment by trusting in Jesus. Have you come to Jesus Christ? Have you put your faith in him? Or are you waiting for a punishment? I pray that you would all, by faith, repent, walk away from your life of sin, and embrace Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Father, I thank you for your word today. Lord, that it speaks to us even today, though it was to Moses and the people of Israel. Lord, you tell us, don't be afraid. God, I thank you for that wonderful promise that for those of us who are in Christ, you are always with us. You never leave us. You never forsake us. And you are closer than a brother. You stick closer than a brother. Oh God, help us to rely on your presence and on your power just every moment of our lives, to seek your face continually, to be guided by your hand, to not be afraid of this world and what it brings at us, to not be afraid of the future. We know that our hope and home is in heaven, no matter what happens to us. If today's our last day, it's still good because we are with you forever. Help us not to be afraid. Help us, God, to have a fear of you, a reverence of you that keeps us from sinning. Because we love you, Lord. Because we've been changed by your love, and we rely on that, Lord. God, I pray that your word would speak to each and every heart today, and you'd use it for your glory. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.